Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college. Check me out. I'm kick-ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself. But they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
You know what the text line has turned into, Mr. Cleland, with this bald conversation?
Take full responsibility for this.
Consultants. It's turned into consultants.
Yeah.
So many. Everybody has their own criteria.
I have a way to differentiate between these criteria. Two competitions, best male bald, best female bald.
Well, now you're adding more categories. You said that's no not more a categories.
No, that's not a category.
What the hell are you talking about? That's not a category. That's a definition of a category.
No, it's not. It's we're human beings here. Women can be bald. Men can be bald. We're all talking about the same thing here. We're cut from the same cloth.
But when you separate them, parts. That is categories.
True. But I just said best balds.
All right.
Celebrity balds.
Demi Moore.
I would say Sinead O'Connor is number one.
I'm going G.I. Jane, Demi Moore.
But that was for a movie role. We're talking about a lifestyle.
You're going voluntarily bald? I can only think of two. Sinead O'Connor and Britney Spears. And Sinead's clearly number... Oh, where there's that supermodel.
I don't know. Oh, you know what I'm talking... She was in the Eddie Murphy movie.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about. Oh gosh, she was in Boomerang.
Yeah.
She was the.
Okay. Now this is going.
Also, Natalie Portman went bald, and she was hot.
Voluntarily or for a movie role?
Well, for a movie.
Aftabeth. Remember that quote when she said Aftabeth? She was trying to name the fragrance.
She wanted to name it Afterbirth?
Yes.
What's
her name?
Are you saying Afterbirth?
That's what she wanted to name the fragrance.
What
in
a
Boomerang.
Horrible name.
You haven't seen
for
Boomerang?
A fragrance. It's been a really long time.
Get on board.
I've seen Boomerang.
It's not Lady Eloise. That was the old lady. This is the
Marcus, darling.
Yeah, this is the old. This is the. What was her name?
I don't know.
Was she bald? Amber Grace. Grace Jones.
Ooh.
Grace
what's
Jones.
Her name? Amber.
Grace Jones.
Rose is the gal that.
Grace Jones.
She's voluntarily blonde and hot on Instagram.
But not bald. She has blonde hair.
Oh, yeah. But, okay. All right. Bald's relative. Okay. And that's bald women talk. I don't know how to transition out of...
I don't know how to either.
...bald conversations. Let's just play this.
Damn alligator bit my hand.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And now let's talk basketball. The Blazers lost last night. They're now in a three-way tie for the third seed in the Western Conference, but way tiebreakers may work out. Portland is actually fifth because red-hot Houston. You said on Monday that Houston is going to catch them. Mm-hmm. It did not take long.
No, it didn't.
Here we are on Wednesday, and the Rockets have caught the Portland Trail Blazers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you look at the standings, all three of them have identical records. We know that. But here's where the tiebreakers work, is that Houston is a division leader, which means they win the tiebreaker over Portland and Oklahoma City, because in the Northwest Division tiebreaker, Oklahoma City has the tiebreak over the Blazers. So, ipso facto, Bob's your uncle. Here come Houston is third. OKC is fourth. The Blazers are fifth.
That's where I predicted the Blazers would finish, is in the five spot.
They obviously have a lot more games to play, and Oklahoma City has a tough road ahead of them. They lost last night in Minnesota 131-120. So Portland, not really in that bad of shape, but the Blazers do. I mean, hey, let's not forget, this team had really did overachieve on that seven-game road trip. They lost against the Grizzlies last night. They got to come back, and they got to check back in and be checked in the rest of the way, because here's the final stretch of games here. Well, not the final stretch. This game stretch of games, the next seven, OKC, Phoenix, on the road against the Clippers, on the road against New Orleans, on the road against San Antonio, and then you have Indiana, Dallas, Detroit, and Brooklyn. I mean, that your next nine games, there's a lot of playoff teams, and you have to go back out on the road again. Mm-hmm. You know?
Hey, welcome to the NBA.
Welcome to the
You're
final
gonna
push.
You're going to have to play tough games, and especially down the end and down the stretch. You're only behind. The team that's behind you is Utah. You're 2-2 against Utah. Feel comfortable with that situation. There's no team above you that I can sit here right now and say wholeheartedly, I feel comfortable that the Blazers can beat them in a seven-game series. I'm sorry right now as I sit.
I don't think there's anything wrong with what you're saying. I don't think
because, so that means if you fall at 4 or 5 and you get Oklahoma City,
yeah,
I like that matchup better than I do Houston. I will tell you that.
I don't like any of them.
I know I don't like any of them, but that's not fair. We're sitting here, we're trying to pretend that the Blazers are going to be some difference makers in the NBA. I'm sorry, in the playoffs, but we just don't have that confidence.
Yeah,
none of us do.
And realistically here, there's a couple things. And Chris Paul actually acknowledged it on Monday evening. He said, we're not going to go anywhere if I'm not healthy. Yep. And kind of we've seen in the Western Conference, we've seen two guys who are changing their attitudes and changing their roles dramatically. Russell Westbrook being one, and his ability to defer to Paul George. And then you have in Chris Paul, a guy who has kind of taken his foot off the gas, because you have James Harden who can carry you through large stretches of the season.
But in a seven-game series.
But he is in Chris Paul is in maintenance mode. But maintenance mode for Chris Paul and this team is still being able to absolutely run roughshod through teams because he's that good on the defensive end.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing guys kind of evolve and change their roles, which is a scary proposition for the Blazers.
I still think he's the best defensive point guard in the league.
Yes. No doubt about it.
He is so strong. He is a general out there.
And here we go with, you know, those two matchups, obviously not great for Portland. And when you look at the way that Oklahoma City has played against the Portland Trailblazers this year and dominating their season series, the Blazers are improved. They absolutely are improved team from a year ago, but they still have inconsistencies. And my big question is, what do the Blazers do in a seven-game series? How do they react? Mm-hmm. They're able in one games during the regular season to manipulate a lineup and get a spark. Yeah. But when a team adjusts in a seven-game playoff system, do they have enough, or seven-game series, do they have enough to find a gear to win 4 games out of 7?
It's not too early to discuss what does happen if the Blazers do lose again in the first round. This is what we do. We've been used to it the last few years. I don't want to get into that doldrums of thinking about the what if, but you're going to get exposed down the end of the stretch here, and teams are going to start to play harder to jockey for positions. So will more teams start to look at the backcourt and just lock it down, because that's going to be what everybody's going to say, is that we can lock down the Blazers and that's it. Good luck.
Well, they have an ability to counterpunch you now. I don't know, and we will not know. And anybody that says that they do know what this team is going to be, they're lying, because
yeah, we don't.
What the adjustment will be in a seven-game series to counter other teams, this team is not good enough to just impose their will on you, but they do have different options, and they have a lot of different options. But I don't know what the final 18 games has to offer, but I'm excited for the playoffs, because we're going to find out a lot about the core of this team. And I thought it was a very interesting point that Enes Kanter made yesterday in Shoot Around. He said, I knew that this team was improved on the floor. He goes, what makes this franchise great is the continuity and the chemistry off. He goes, they get along on the floor and they play together really well. He goes, I had no idea how well we all got along off the floor.
It's probably refreshing for him to be in a stable place after being with Westbrook. We all know how stable that is.
And then James Dolan.
And then having to go to New York and get in that what do we call it, a dumpster fire of New York. But it's in New York, the craziness. Maybe it is for him. It is refreshing to come out here to Portland and sit and be around a team that Damian Lillard has changed the culture. And it is Lillard's culture. It's not Neil O'Shea's culture. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're not going to sell me on that. This is Damian Lillard and what he's been able to accomplish here.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Here, here. What is it? We got a Black Panther in Black Panther. Danae.
Yeah, she's on. She's also on Walking Dead.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, she's very good.
Look at
Excellent
that.
Excellent actress.
Another hot bald. Okay, 55305, the Better You Today text line. The Phoenix Suns owner, we didn't get to him. He's a psycho. I mean, literally, this is some wild stuff that Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN is reporting about the Phoenix Suns owner. Dustin Cam on The Fan. You know, something got me thinking about in that break there. We had our Better You Today report that we did about Jessica Mendoza. It was the Guild report. The Guild mortgage report about Jessica Mendoza getting a front office job with the Mets. And Bruce Arians said at the NFL Combine, he is creating an entire full-time position on his staff in Tampa Bay for a female assistant. Mm-hmm. He was the first to do it. Remember when they had an intern a few years back?
I remember that.
So if we look at like Becky Hammon, there's actually a couple female assistants in the NBA now. And the opportunities Becky Hammon has got to not just be an assistant, but move up in the Spurs. You have Jessica Mendoza in baseball and the NFL full-time positions now on coaching staffs. The last 4 years, they've been incredible for women in our professional sports, men's professional sports. And just thinking of Mendoza being a consultant in a front office now, that's a huge step forward. Right. And we've had assistant GMs and front office in baseball. It's kind of been actually at the forefront of it.
Well, there are other female leaders. I mean, Jenny Buss runs the Lakers. I mean, as much as you want to
say. No doubt about it. Yeah, she's the owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But being a coach, I think there's a barrier that needs to be broke. Eventually, it will happen. I mean, Becky Hammon might be the first. I mean, that sounds like the...
To be a head coach?
Yeah, to be a real head coach of a professional franchise when it comes to one of the big three that we have here in our country. It's bound to happen. Mm-hmm. Who will be the first? Which sport will it be?
It's going to be the NBA. It most definitely is going to be the NBA when it happens.
I think so, too.
But Bruce Arians, I don't think that's getting a lot of run. Arians said it at the combine. He's like, I've created a full-time spot. Mm-hmm. He's like, we gave... He said we gave a couple women assistant intern opportunities, and they knocked it out of the park. Why wouldn't we? It'd be dumb not to. All right, moving on. One of the worst owners in professional sports is the Phoenix Suns' Robert Sarver. We talked about this, maybe 2 months ago, about how the Phoenix Suns are trying to get public money to build their new arena in Phoenix and to kind of fleece the public.
Again.
Well, Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN has like a profile about how just absolutely dysfunctional the Phoenix Suns are. This is a couple snippets of what is a really good and long piece. But it says, one longtime former player remembers the owner barging into the locker room following a loss to instruct big men on how to set better screens. A former assistant coach was floored when Sarver confronted his boss, the head coach, on the way from the court to the coach's office immediately after the buzzer to berate him on substitution patterns. Another former coach was taken back when Sarver marched into the head coach's office at halftime and insisted the team run a trap at an opposing point guard who had abused the Suns' defense. That is one piece of it.
Yeah.
It gets worse. Sarver also, to his general manager, Ryan McDonough, he acquired some live goats from a Diana Taurasi event at Talking Stick Arena, where they were calling her the goat of the WNBA. And he planted them upstairs in McDonough's office. The stunt was both a practical joke and an inspirational message, according to Sarver. The Suns should go and find a goat of their own, one who dominates like Taurasi. The goats, unaware of their metaphorical connotation, proceeded to defecate all over McDonough's office. The general, he put locked goats for an extended period of time in the GM's office.
This is a real story.
Imagine being the GM walking in a bunch of goat scat everywhere.
Yeah. Just pooping all over your, and goats eat everything.
Yeah, they do.
So if there's any papers that are left out.
If you want to clean up your property, just bring in some goats.
They eat it all. Mm-hmm. And he seems like, honestly, like he's a psycho.
He's not all there, obviously.
My gosh. Have you ever run into an instance, though, where an owner or anybody not involved in the coaching staff has barged into the locker room and tell the coaches how to do their job?
I can't. No, off the top of my head, no, I've never seen that before. I think most owners try to sit there and they say, well, I think I belong in my place. But we know that they do that with coaches. We know they do it with coaching staffs all the time. I think coaches have been threatened. I've seen owners come down and potentially, I've seen coaches fight. I've seen all of that, but I've never seen someone or a general manager, anybody freak out. I had an awful general manager my first 2 years in the NFL. Awful. It was probably one of the most embarrassing. His name was Bill Kuharik, and he looked like Ernie McCracken.
A big Ern.
It was one of the worst comb overs ever. And yeah, and it was a sideshow. Really? Just an absolute sideshow. So maybe there's more of those guys out there. Because think about this. You got 32 NFL teams. You got 30 of those. How many efficient, intelligent guys out there do you think and people are out there can run a major franchise like that?
Well, but that's,
successfully.
That's the amazing
unless
part.
Unless you know a buddy.
The amazing part to me is that this man is the owner and he was successful enough in other avenues to become a billionaire. I mean, these owners are billionaires. And right. I think he is a real estate magnate. Mm-hmm. I believe that's kind of what he does.
Yeah.
But he's smart enough to do that, but he's dumb enough to micromanage to the point where you're barging into a locker room and telling an NBA player how to efficiently set a screen.
But certainly not everybody understands how to translate business to sports because
no doubt.
Sports is not business when it comes to teamwork. There's not a correlate because some guys just rule with an iron fist and they think that they can just control and put that all that fear. That's not how teamwork works. It's just not how you lead.
He does. I mean, this is going down the roads of remember when Jerry Jones couldn't get out of his own way and that was a big deal. But you never really heard like you heard of Jerry saying we're paying this guy this much. You need to play him. I don't remember Jerry Jones telling any of his coaches what plays to run.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
I mean, Phil Knight wore a headset in the booth.
Mm-hmm. That did not have a microphone. He just got to listen.
You keep telling yourself that.
From the Better You Today text line, sounds like he went to the Michael Scott School of Management. Doesn't it seem like something that with the GOATs, at least, that Michael Scott would try to do to inspire his staff?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. That is 100% of Michael. This is a total Michael Scott move. And apparently it gets worse because he heckles his own players from his baseline front row seat. Phoenix Suns players, their owner calling them out and heckling them.
Okay.
He sounds like he's the worst owner in all of professional sports, trying to rip off the community, not really trying to win, just meddling in everything from your GM to your coaching staff to your players. He sounds truly to
remember
be
remember we had this discussion, the best owners in sports. Is it football? Is it basketball? Or is it baseball? I think NBA might have the worst owners. Or does NFL have the worst owners? Because we've had some bad NFL owners kind of been exposed lately. Maybe a Clippers owner.
Well, it's bad people.
That's what I'm saying. But we were talking about which sport has the worst ownership groups.
Yeah, there's different levels of ownership. Like there's horrible people. Which I think there's a lot of them in all the professional sports.
Yeah.
There's horrible just running a team, and then there's horrible towards the community. And I think if you're talking about horrible towards the community, Major League Baseball is probably the worst because they just demand stadiums for the public to buy in a lot of cases and just kind of rip people off with no hope or want to win A's in that city. You know, like the A's, they want a new stadium.
So you're going with baseball as the worst ownership?
Towards communities.
Oh, okay, but just in general.
In general, yeah. Baseball might be it because
I know
you have a large contingent of ownership that doesn't care about winning and is pretty vocal about
it. That was the Nintendo group that owned the Mariners for years.
Yep. And then there's others that sit there and at least the Mariners were like, hey, we're going to try and buy these guys to see if we can win and pretended like they wanted to. You have the ones that just don't want to win and use it in the form of analytics.
Yep.
Then you have the community aspect of it where they're bad to the community. And they treat their players like trash
times, too. I
don't know
if I agree with you on that one. I feel like the NBA does it worse
for
some reason. I just do. I feel like baseball has more longevity as it's stable. I feel like the NBA is very unstable.
Well, the way that they rip off cities for millions upon millions of dollars, I think I go with that.
Okay.
NBA doesn't do it to as large of a degree because a lot of the owners in the NBA actually own their arenas, too. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of criteria you could break down about what it means to be a bad owner, but it just means putting a crappy product out there.
Gosh.
And being okay with it. New York Knicks.
Well, take note, managers and owners of businesses out there. Just put a goat in your GM's office and he'll be inspired to go out and draft one. And as this texter says, good luck in Arizona, Zion. Because they are going to be the most likely team to land the number one overall pick.
Ah, three most likely teams, though. Even chances.
Yeah. You have the
frozen envelope. Just do it now.
Would it be bad, though? I mean, think about it. DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker.
Yes, it would be bad.
Zion Williamson.
It would be bad.
That would be a pretty good three.
Great. We get to see another process start, like just like the 76ers, that great 76ers team. We're waiting to see Pop.
Well, DeAndre Ayton is playing really well, and we know Devin Booker's good.
Yeah, I know.
They'd play in a loaded Western Conference.
Yep.
And, I mean, you're poo-pooing the fourth best team that's only a half game out of being the three seed in the East.
I'm not poo-pooing them. I'm just telling you, here we go again. We're 10 years of the process.
Yeah. They're a 41-win team.
Good.
That is good. You're right.
A lot of championships.
That is good.
A lot of playoff experience there.
Because they can't beat the Warriors.
They can't beat anybody in the West or in the East. They haven't even done anything yet. Done nothing.
Well, give it time. It's, as they say, it's a process. It is a process.
I'm with you.
I mean, if I'm a Blazer fan, I would absolutely love. They won a playoff series last year.
Blazers are a better franchise than the 76ers right now. They have been over time. They're better.
I mean, but I'm just saying, at least they won a playoff series last year.
Oh, yeah. So Blazers have won a playoff series in this decade.
Well, they've lost 10 playoff games in a row.
Yeah, I know.
It is the East, though. They played Miami last year. All right, 55305. Better you today, text line. Best balds still coming in. I can't believe this one's not dying. And changes coming to bowl games in college football. First is Buck with SportsCenter. All right, it is 8:36 now. Dusty Hara, Cam Cleland with you. Best balds are a topic of conversation. If you'd like to hear our thoughts on the best facial hair of all time, go check out the Morning Double Shot on Facebook and Twitter that Buck puts up there every morning.
It's not up there yet. Will be soon.
It will be. A bald bull coming in on the Better You Today text line. We got that one earlier from... Mike Tyson punch out.
Yeah.
He was always so easy to beat. He was so easy to beat, the bald bull was.
I don't think he was easy. Joe was easy.
Well, yeah. But the guy that was harder than it should have been for me was the beer guy. The drink.
Soda Popinski.
Yeah, with the
rotor. Piston Hurricane was very difficult.
With I'm talking of the easier levels. The tiger guy was with the... With the guy who wore the turban and would go invisible, struggled with him. But Soda Popinski was a guy that he was way harder than he should have been for me.
Speaking of that game,
okay,
if you go on YouTube,
okay,
you can watch a guy beat Mike Tyson without looking. Wins the whole game from start to finish. He stands to the side. And this is true, and I've tried this, is that the music is key to when to dodge, punch. The music is perfectly in cue with when some of these things happen. So this guy does it without looking. He goes, here's the music, and can fight the entire fight all the way through. Mike Tyson wins the entire thing. Watched it happen.
How many hours do you think he has spent?
Well, like I said, there's a high level of I don't have a lot of free time of being able to do that, but that's still pretty cool.
Are you going with...
No, I did beat Mike Tyson all the way through, just like everybody did. But then I use the cheat code 007-373-5963.
To get there. I mean, because it's not worth it to go all the way through.
No, but then I did do it all the way through also.
Yeah.
But to do it without looking.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
It blew your mind.
Do you think he went over or under Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours? You know, Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours.
Remember that golfer guy that was at Columbia Edgewater? The 10,000 hour guy who's going to be a professional golfer who's a lefty? How'd that turn out for him? Anybody know? That was a Sports Illustrated thing. He was from here.
He's still doing it.
Is he still doing it?
Yeah, I have his number somewhere.
Oh, you interviewed him?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't here.
No.
That was a long time ago.
No, it was a long time ago.
Okay.
Dan McLaughlin.
Whew. Okay.
Pulled that one. I don't know how he's doing with that. I don't know, but he went
I
on
I wish the, I had 10,000 hours to be a pro golfer.
Right. He went on the Malcolm Gladwell theory of 10,000 hours, you can master anything. Uh-huh. I'm wondering if that guy went over 10,000 hours to do that with Mike Tyson punch.
Sure. Why not?
Because that's a lot of time in front of the screen. A lot of screen time. Eye strain right there. Sloth from Goonies is not an all-time bald, people. Come on. 55305.
Matusak? John Matusak?
The didn't football
play,
player.
Didn't he play
Oakland
that
Raider.
Character? Sloth?
Mm-hmm.
Are we?
I believe you are certain on that.
I'm saying that with a little bit of a question mark, but I think so. And this one comes in, RIP King Kong Bundy. I mean, yeah, he passed away. And he was a very good bald.
Wrestling's got a ton of them, you know? John Matusak was.
RIP also, John Matusak.
Yeah. Steroids.
What?
That's what Lyle Alzado, he claimed that all of his health problems were because of.
I thought he had AIDS. Or he had something like that he passed away
he
from.
He said that steroids were a big problem for
okay,
him.
Okay, I don't
That's
know.
What he kept saying. All right. Yeah, John Matusak. He had actually a pretty long career
hey,
acting.
You guys.
What a great line.
Ruth?
Yeah.
Baby Ruth?
Are they going to remake that?
Don't ever do that. No. Don't. You're not allowed to do that. Don't touch that.
The Sandlot is being made into a television series.
Yeah, that's fine. Make a TV
series.
That's
not
a big deal.
In 1985,
okay.
Which is going to be all of the kids in the original cast of The Sandlot is going to be in it. And they're going to have, all of them are going to be 35 years old.
Is that possible?
Well, they're 35 now.
Oh, okay. So
and
the majority
it's
of cast.
Based in 1985.
Yeah, okay.
And so they're going to be adults. And it's going to be about their kids all staying in the neighborhood and playing baseball too.
Hmm.
CBS is doing it.
I might be convinced that 1985 is the perfect year.
I would say 84, but I'm a little biased.
I know you're a little biased, but you were 1 year old. So now you kind of were in the world
I was
of 85. You're experienced.
Yeah.
85, 55. There's something about the five, you know, Back to the Future, 85, 1985.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
You're right. And cell phones won't screw it all up. Have you noticed that a lot of movies now are taking place pre-cell phone era because mm-hmm. screenwriters are like, cell phones screw up everything. Yeah. Like a plot hole consists because of a cell phone where now you can just, oh, I'm lost. I'll call somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's going to get murdered. Let me call them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let them avoid it.
I had a person pull over as I was walking the other day and ask for directions. I thought it was refreshing.
That is great.
They didn't know. They said, well, my phone died and I can't find the Boys and Girls Club. And I went, oh, it's right down here. Take a left. It's on your left-hand side. It's been a while since I've done that because I'm a guy because we don't ask for directions because we know everything. We'll drive around for hours before we
find
ask
it.
Dang direction.
I'm going to find it.
Why is that true? Isn't that true? I'll go into Home Depot. I have no idea. I'll look on my app before I ask somebody, sir, do you need any help? Nope, doing just fine. Find that screw. I don't care where that is.
I've reached the point where I actually have an internal struggle over, okay, how soon can I find this thing that I'm looking for? How soon could I find someone to help me? Which way do I want to go with this thing?
I go with the, F it. And I just yell, hey, anybody know where this is?
Well, right, but you have to make the decision which is going to consume more time. Do you want to be the idiot who's like, hey, where's your flower?
Here's what I do. Here's what I do. I go down this route. If nobody answers me immediately,
yeah,
I will just say, screw it. I'm going man mode. I will figure it out on my own. But I am not afraid to ask. I'm not afraid to just be like, hey, do you know? And if somebody doesn't respond or says, I don't know, blinders are on. Yeah. I'm going to finish this
eventually,
task on my own.
Eventually, I do ask, but man, it's difficult because I feel like we're hunting. Man, I'm getting there. I got my target going after that LED light bulb, and I got to find it. Okay, I want that number 16 screw. I got to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you give up, and that's the sign of weakness. Oh, I got to give up. I got to ask the person.
Dusty's got man mode. Cam's got the hunt.
I'm in it for the hunt. I have something I need to fix, Dusty, via text. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt with you. This gentleman just texted and says, I have a case of the Wendy's. Cam, keep your eyes out for a Husky golf bag in the pawn shops as some knucklehead stole mine in Vancouver last night. Thieves suck. Well, you know what? Mm. I got one for you. Text back into the show. I got one for you.
You have a Husky golf bag?
I have a brand new Husky golf bag. I will take care of you. I will bring it to the station. You can come down and pick it up.
Look at you are the nicest man.
No, I'm not the nicest man. I just want to, it's just, I know it was a duck fan who stole it. So
that's
I'm going to replace that with it, with one. I have one
for
you. Well,
it's getting cold. Duck fans need it to keep their house warm.
Yeah. I'm a Ducks fan. They need something for target practice. Yeah. I get it. I get it.
Set on fire.
He stole your bag,
man,
too.
That sucks,
that makes
man.
Me irate. It makes me irate. But I have a bag for you, a custom Husky bag for you. I will definitely bring that in here.
Oh, look at 87 people have now gotten their Husky bags stolen.
87 people?
Yeah. Hey, Cam, I think a duck fan stole my $20,000 from my car. Can you help me out? That's fantastic. Okay. We put a bow on the show and crown the best bald man of all time next. Dustin Cam on the Fan. You mentioned directions and asking for directions last segment, and something is been bothering me for quite some time about directions. I've noticed I don't notice landmarks anymore when I'm driving.
What?
You know how you always used to be turn left at the yellow mailbox, then take a right at the where you see the two trees that split? I don't notice that crap anymore.
Is this true? This text on the Better You Today says, don't ask a woman for directions. They never use streets or names. It's always next to this place or store or landmark. Never use a real street or ad. Is that true? I don't know if that's true.
Well, women are men. Landmarks are how you get around too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's.
Women have a way better memory than dudes. I'll tell you that much. It's not even in it. We're not in the same category here.
No, my wife can remember all the bad things I've done for our entire relationship. You know, yeah. Remembers all of it. Whoa, A-Rod.
He looks good.
Wearing sunglasses on a TV hit.
You see him hitting snowballs in New York the other day?
No.
He's hitting snowballs, soft tossing.
I did. Someone was giving him
soft toss with snowballs.
That's fantastic.
Swing looked good, too.
Yeah, it looked really good. Looked solid.
A-Rod's swing does not get put up there enough with the great swings in baseball.
Because it looked like it was slow and loopy, but it was very efficient.
Well, yeah, and he played with the most beautiful swing in baseball in Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was on the same lineup as, I mean, when you're on that team, sorry, you don't even have the best swing on your, heck, you had Edgar, A-Rod, and Griffey mm-hmm. on one team. That's three pretty swings right there. Three very pretty swings. Not all of them efficient, all of them different on one baseball team.
Yeah.
And I think A-Rod doesn't get nearly enough credit for being as beautiful as his was. Okay. Best balds of all time. That has been something that started off the show and is brought us all the way through today. Have you changed your mind at all on the best bald of all time, which you started the show with?
Best bald, and this is the problem.
We're just bald.
Just bald.
Bald head.
Michael Jordan's number one.
Oh, so you have changed.
Well, I went to a full human because Mr. Clean is an ad and is something that was created to clean us all
mm-hmm.
because it was clean as a whistle. And that's one of my favorite commercials ever is the Irish Spring is written clean as a whistle. So Michael Jordan, number one bald all time.
Michael Jordan is hands down number one, not even close.
It made it cool to be bald. Well, it's not like he made it cool to be bald, but it just felt there was something what it was.
I think that's somewhat accurate, yeah.
It is. I think it's 100% accurate. Yep. He made it cool to just go ahead and say, screw it, I'm bicking it. Because guys used to hold on to the hair for way too long.
And I did. I've told my bald story multiple times, but I will do this very quickly, is that I tried Rogaine, okay? I tried it. I did it, and I put it in my hair, and I didn't. I went out to practice.
Bad idea.
As a rookie.
Don't do that.
And it was very bad. And I didn't shower or anything. I had the gel in or whatever it is. And next thing you know, about 15 minutes into practice, I'm a heavy sweater. It's New Orleans. It's just, it's running. It's burning my face and my eyes.
Oh, no.
It was awful. And I'm in practice. I'm trying to fight it. And I'm like, just going. And next thing you know, I take off my helmet. And it's like I say a prayer because there's thousands of hairs left inside my helmet. And I'm just in. Coach Dick looks over me and goes, what's your problem, rookie? And I said, Coach, I put it up. I'm not crying. And he just goes.
You were crying.
I was. It was in my eyes, and I didn't know what to do. And next thing you know, he's just like, get off the damn field. Get off the dang field.
And you're like, all right, I'll move the drill.
Move the drill right up.
And
the
trust me, I never lived that down. The dudes in the locker room, it was.
Well, yeah, that's you were a rookie, and that was a total rookie move.
Hey, Cam, first down, Rogaine, second and 10.
Yikes. Somebody keeps sending in the name Telly Savalas.
Telly Savalas. Do you know who Telly Savalas is?
No idea.
He was on a TV show in the 80s, 70s.
Telly Savalas.
There's one text here I've been waiting to read because I thought it was just the most comprehensive.
What was the name of the TV show? Go ahead.
He was in 007. Kojak.
Kojak. Kojak.
I don't know who that Telly Savalas is.
The Dirty Dozen. Kelly's Heroes. God, he's in a lot of stuff.
But this person says, and they just give us a list.
Oh, yeah. He was the Birdman.
Pretty much gets everyone. So Sebastian Janikowski, Hines Ward, Steve Smith, Anderson, Spider Silva, John Bones Jones, Tito Ortiz, Vander Holyfield, Matt Hasselbeck, Tim Howard, Jason Kidd, Kevin Garnett, Albert Pujols, Brian Urlacher, Mark Messier, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Samuel L. Jackson, LL Cool J, Pitbull, Tupac.
Sam Jackson. See, that you just went through way too many. Those are just bald guys. Those aren't great bald guys. Like, nobody's sitting there and saying that Hines Ward and Steve Smith are great bald guys. Mm. If there's one great bald man in NFL, it was Brian Urlacher, but he cheated us all.
Did he cheat? Why do you think he cheated? He just wanted to go back to that feeling. I have the dream. I have a dream to run my fingers through my hair of full hair. It's not going to happen in my lifetime because no one's smart enough in this dang world to fix the bald problem.
I mean, you still seem upset about this.
Well, I do. We have a blue pill for something. Can't we figure out something else? I have to have surgical implants with people making injections into my head? Can't you take every bit of furry back hair and find a way to get it up there without having to remove it?
Well, I think the science is in the right spot, though. I think the blue pill needed to come before the hair pill.
Like I said, there's two blood flow areas where, as you age, you need to keep a lot of blood flow. One is down low and one is up top, and suddenly it just goes from up top to down low.
This goes back to my inversion table theory, where we need to find a teenager with a history of male pattern baldness in his family, and we'll put him on an inversion table, tip him upside down for about a half hour every day, and we'll test this theory. Is it a blood flow issue? Get the blood going to the follicles up top.
Yeah, see, this guy's making fun of me. He said, Cam, you're an idiot. I know. Well, why would you put it right on before practice? That was stupid. You're right.
How about this
guy?
I admit
it. I was 22 years old at the time. Do you think I was smart?
Hey, Cam, can you run your fingers through your hair and remember about the $20,000 that was stolen out of my car by a Ducks fan?
Wow.
20 grand? What are you doing carrying 20 grand in your car?
Well, Duck fan stole it.
That's your fault, Duck fan.
No, a Duck fan stole it.
Oh, God.
He's a Husky.
Trying to get your golf bag charity in
the
cash form.
Did you already forget about what you did for the nice Husky fan?
No, I'm giving him a bag.
One.
I already texted him. We've already communicated.
Oh, good.
His name is Josh.
Hi, Josh.
I will have it ready for him. It's good stuff.
Love you guys.
20 grand. And that sucks.
All right.
That really does suck. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hey, and by the way, Guy.
GoFundMe.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, we got people thinking on the
way.
It was
a good joke, man. I liked it. That was a good joke. It was a good joke. I appreciate a good joke in the morning.
People are saying, this is perfectly fine for my morning. Your theories on blood flow are making my drive so much better. That's what we're here for.
Well, I'll see you later. I love sarcasm. I do. I love sarcasm. I'll be back next year.
You go, well, I'll see you later.
Yeah, I'll be back next year.
I'll see you later.
Maybe.
All right, up next is the Herd of the Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Souk. It's Wednesday, which means the Hot Corner, Harris Lynch, 7 to 9. And then we got Duck in, or Duck, no, 7:30, we got Ducks basketball right here on The Fan. Washington State, have a great one. We'll see you tomorrow on The Fan.